Father David, you're not feeling very well and you still demand to preach? You bet. It was Sunday night that I all of a sudden, when you get that crackling, itchy feeling in your throat and you know things are going to get bad? Well, that was Sunday evening, and I was, not Sunday evening, Monday evening, and I was kind of grouchy about the whole thing. And then that's, you know, like you have a quick little swig of scotch and you hope that you can kill it. It doesn't work. So then you just resign yourself to knowing, darn, it's going to be a lame day tomorrow. And I was thinking, because I had to go all the way up to Courtney Comox for that Moira McQueen thing. I'll just have to go at a later time or something. But I resigned myself to realizing, I don't think that's going to work out. So I called my driving companion at 4 o'clock in the morning. I texted them. And I said, I won't be with you. And he's like, okay, fine. And it was interesting because as I was thinking about it, I said, it's really quite interesting that I screwed up the scheduling and then had to cancel the mass and did all these different things. Because it worked out rather providentially that yesterday I probably would have stubbornly forced myself to do a mass yesterday if I were sick. And that would have been a really stupid thing. Pig-headed, youthful, and stupid. But I would have done it anyway, and I acknowledged that rather readily in front of everybody. And so it was really quite interesting to have had it canceled already and then to look into a retrospect and to realize that's God's care. Sometimes he realizes our foolishness and kind of sets things up in the appropriate way so that if we refuse to work around our own stubbornness, then God will somehow get things done. And then, of course, I woke up this morning and I said, well, Mass is still scheduled and darn it, I'm going to do it anyway. And it's still, the whole thing proceeds, but at least I'm feeling better today than I was yesterday. Now, this ability of God to take a bad situation and make good out of it, this is our Christian trademark. This is something that we carry from the Old Testament into the New, and it shows our active faith in God's continual presence in our life, that he doesn't prevent us from experiencing bad things. He does even better things. He makes even our failures and our losses and our tragedies, and he makes them occasions for something even better. So in the last few days, in the weekday readings, we've gone through the early Christian church is growing, it's growing, it's growing. And then St. Stephen, one of the first deacons, is proclaiming the faith rather faithfully. But St. Stephen is a part of the Hellenists, which is a part of, they're a type of Jew that is not as connected with the temple as, say, the Judean Jews would be. And so for the Hellenist Jews and for the Hellenist Christians, Hellenist Christians especially, they're very happy that the resurrection of Christ has rendered the temple obsolete. And of course, many of the scribes and Pharisees are a little nervous about this, and most especially the Sadducees, because if the temple really is obsolete, they're out of a job. And so the panic then sets in, and they have debates with Stephen. They lose rather handily. And so, like most consummate politicians, they resort to lying. They resort to lying to be able to get what they want. And of course, if we believe in a God of truth, if you lie to glorify his name, it means you don't actually believe in the living God. Like, that's a pretty simple maxim, that the God of truth can't be glorified by a lie. And therefore, it's always better to be humiliated rather than lie. Well, they lied. They said that Stephen was saying things against Moses and the law, and no such thing had ever been said. He's stoned to death. Saul approves of it. Saul, the apostle, the later apostle, approves of the whole thing. And today's reading, we get the scattering. We get all of the church begins to go poof, because now this is getting real. And there's nothing wrong with a Christian not wanting to be killed. We do believe in eternal life, but for crying out loud, you know, like, you don't need to be killed. It's one of those Thomas More scenarios where if you have to die, then so be it, but you're not going to start running around looking for it. So they decide to scatter. But the good thing is that in the scattering, that's when the faith starts to become truly universal. It's when they get almost kicked out of Jerusalem because they weren't really all that interested in moving or going anywhere else. Even though Jesus gives them the Great Commission, go out into all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, like most of us, they're like, yeah, sure, okay, I'll just do that from home. So the only way that God was able to kick them out was to allow this persecution to happen, get them out of their comfort zone, so that they could, in fact, do what God originally told them to do, go out. But of course, you also get a nice moment in this, because even here, it gives them the opportunity of growing in humility. Because they're being sent out not because, you know, they're incredibly overly sure about themselves, but just almost out of necessity. And necessity is not only the mother of invention, it's also the occasion of sanctity. Too many people seek sanctity through the ephemerals of life, the outside bits, the things on the peripheries. Now, it's true, we must seek sanctity on the peripheries, but those are the people on the peripheries. We must truly find sanctity by letting God penetrate the innermost core of our heart, the necessities of life, food, relationships, like those things that we're the most terrified of. If we really want to be a saint, those are the things that we go after. And now you see the church beginning from her very heart, going out into the larger world. This is what begins to prompt the great mission to the Gentiles. This is what allows the great mission in Antioch, which is the first place that Christians are called Christians. This becomes that moment of total missionary expansion. Now, another way in which we have seen this happen has been in the last few centuries. Christianity had largely been a European thing for a very, very long time. And one of the ways in which we can kind of be convinced, or think in our own mind, but not necessarily true, that Christianity is on the decline is when we only realize that European Christianity is on the decline. European Christianity is on the decline. But it's not necessarily the case everywhere else. And one of the reasons why we've been so blessed in the last little while is because it's not so Eurocentric anymore, that she can now branch out and expand her vision so that we might understand that the gospel truly is Catholic in the real Catholic sense of the word. It is meant for all, that the risen Christ, his body, is the true dwelling place of every person of goodwill. And that it is our obligation, not choice, obligation, to make this vision of reality better and better. For Jesus' gospel today is, on one level, it sounds rather radical. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And then he goes on to say it a little bit later. Sorry. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. I love this reckless confidence that Jesus is teaching us to place in the Father. How often do churches become clammy, both on the left and the right, because we're always afraid of what we're going to lose? We're always afraid of initiatives falling apart. We're always afraid of buildings no longer being effective. We're always afraid of, you know, maybe our grandkids or whatever not coming to church anymore. And it's a lot easier to charge if you know your back is covered. This doesn't mean we become stupid. But if we really believe that Christ is our shepherd, that he is the good shepherd, that he is guiding us, why aren't we charging? Or is it because we're trying to hold on to something else?